All right, we're beginning here in the middle of Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, across from the Tosafot to Lo Mikablim Minayu. Yesterday we left off with the machlok between Rova and Rabbi Eloah as to how to explain the first case in our Mishnah. What is the issue that the Mishnah is worried about in the first case that is mentioned? Are we talking about a problem of chatzitza when your matpil kli betoch kli is the issue chatzitza, and that's what Rabbi Eloah says? Even though later on in the Mishnah we already discussed the issue of chatzitza, Gemara created a tzrichuta that we need both types of chatzitzot because each one of them has its own unique aspect. But there are two manifestations of chatzitza in our Mishnah, and therefore there are only 10 differences that are mentioned in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Eloah. On the other hand, Rava believed that the first case here, the problem of keli betoch kli, was the issue of the opening on the outer kli, as to whether there was sufficient water that accessed the inner kli in order to make it tahor. And that's the problem of kli betoch kli. And according to Rova, chatzitza is mentioned later on in the Mishnah. And since it's mentioned later in the Mishnah, that means that we have 11 differences that are mentioned in our Mishnah with regards to Kodesh versus Truma. So that's the machloket that we saw between Rova and Rabbi Eloah. And then we spoke about the nafkamino between them, the case of Sal v'Gugadni, the case of the large baskets or filters, by which Rova would say it's totally fine because there's a wide open opening, there's no question about the access of the water, whereas for Rabbi Eloah, you still have the problem of the pressure of the kelim that are inside the other kli, and there could be a problem of chatzitza. Now the Gemara says, V'ha de Rova v'Rabbi Eloah tanaehi. That machloki between Rova and Rabbi Eloah that we're speaking about here is actually a machloki tanaim. Detanyo, you have a braita. Sal v'gugatni, a basket and a large basket filter that's used in the wine presses, shemil an kelim, filled it up with other utensils, v'hid bilam, and he put them into the mikveh, ben the kodesh, ben the truma, tehorim. Whether it's for kodesh or truma, it's totally fine. That's the Tana Kama, says it works, there is no problem here. That is like Rava who says that the whole problem here is the access of the water to the inner kelim. In the case of Salva Gugadni, there's no problem. And therefore, whether you did it for Truma or you did it for Kodesh, it would be fine. For Truma, it's always fine. Kli betoch kli works for Truma. But by Kodesh, where the Mishnah indicates that it would be problematic, over here it's not problematic because you're using a Salva Gugadni, these wide open utensils. Abba Sha'olomer, the Truma, it works for Truma, like our Mishnah says. Abba lo de Kodesh. But for Kodesh, it does not work. He is like Rabbi Eloah, which is saying that the problem here is chatzitza of a kli betoch kli, the pressure from the inner kli on the outer kli makes it that maybe the water doesn't get in there. So for truma, our Mishnah says that's fine, we don't worry about it. For kodesh, one of the malota tehara is that we do worry about it, and therefore by kodesh it would be no good. So here you see a machloket tanaim that reflects the difference of opinions that we saw between Rava and Rabbi Eloah. Mar says, yihachi truma nami. So the question is, why isn't that also the case by Truma? If we're worried about this issue by Kodesh, why don't we worry about it with regards to Truma? Laman Kamrinan. Who exactly are we speaking about over here? And, you know, as Rashi points out, and he's mentioned this in the past, Dilu Amaretz lo ati kaman l'mishal. The Amaretz doesn't come to ask questions. So who are we speaking about here when we're differentiating between Kodesh and Truma? So Chaverim. We're talking about chaverim, people who are careful about their tuma and tahara. Chaverim mido yodet. The chaverim know that there's a problem of kli betoch kli, and therefore they won't do it or they won't worry about it with regards to truma. When it comes to truma, they're going to say, look, you can't have, if the kli betoch kli causes a problem, I won't do it. If it weighs or it's too heavy and it pushes the water out, I won't do it. It says, yochi kodesh nami. So also by Kodesh, why don't we say the same thing? If we're only addressing a population who understands the dinim of Tvilah and understands the dinim of Tuma and Tahara, why would you differentiate between Truma and Kodesh? Truma, you're telling me, okay, we don't have to institute a problem of Keli B'toch Kli. All right, I understand that because the Chaver knows what to do. Well, if he knows what to do, he should also know what to do when it comes to Kodesh. Why does he only know what to do with regards to Truma? So when it says, Chazilei Amaretz, Bazil, Matbil. So he says, no, we're worried that by Kodesh, the Amaretz is going to see what the Chaver does. He's going to see the Chaver put one Kli into the other Kli, and he's going to mimic that behavior. Now the chaver knows to check to make sure that there's sufficient water in there that floats the other kli up, and he does it properly. The amaris who watched him doesn't know that, and he'll go ahead and mimic that behavior. And when he mimics that behavior, we're going to have a detrimental result from that. Where it says trumanami chazile amaris. Wait a bit. The truma. If you say the truma is the same thing, then he'll copy the chaver by truma as well. But azu matbil. And he'll go ahead and do the same thing. He'll put it in, kli b'tol kli, and he'll do the same thing by truma. Where it says, lo mikablinan minayu. We don't accept truma from the amaretz. That's not a problem. If he does something wrong with regards to truma, he copies, he mimics the chaver, and he does kli b'tol kli. So over there, the chaver knows what he's doing, we let it go through. The amaretz doesn't know what he's doing. So fine, he'll copy the chaver, he'll do it wrong, but we don't accept his truma. Where it says, Kodesh namino nikabil minayu. Same thing by Kodesh. Why don't you say the same thing? Let him mimic our behavior. And we'll say, fine, he's doing it for himself. We're just not going to accept the Kodesh from him. Havila Eva. Then there'll be, the exact translation is hatred, but the meaning is that you're going to cause a rift over here, where, okay, we accept Kodesh from you, but we don't accept Kodesh from you. It's going to, right, because it's going to cause these class distinctions, which are going to precipitate a lot of anger amongst the Amiaris that we're not accepting their Kodesh. Where it says, Truma Nami Avile Eva. So why don't we worry about the Eva by Truma? The Gemara was basically moving step by step and saying, I'm trying to understand why you have a difference between Truma and Kodesh. You're telling me that it has nothing to do with the Amiaretz, it all has to do with the Chaver, because the Amiaretz is not going to ask us, they're not going to care anyway. So it all has to do with the Chaver. If it's the Chaver should have the same believability, or the same knowledge, both by Truma and Kodesh, which means that he should be able to do the same thing by both of them. So in the end, the Gemara says, no. Our problem is that the Amiaretz is going to mimic the behavior of the Chaver. That's our problem now. The Gemara says, okay. If he's going to mimic the behavior, then you have the same problem by Truma that you have by Kodesh. Gemara says, no, because by Kodesh we won't accept it. Gemara says, so by Truma we won't accept it. Gemara says, well, you can't do that by Kodesh because you're going to create Eva. You're going to create a certain amount of disdain here, problems of class distinctions, and that is not what we want to do. Gemara says, Truma Nami. You could say the same thing there. Why don't we say that the lack of acceptance of their Truma will be problematic and cause Eva as well? Where it says, lo ichbat lei. The Amaretz is not bothered by that, by Truma. The ozu yoiv lei the Kohen Amaretz chavrei. Because there he has an alternative. He can give it over to a Kohen Amaretz who will accept his Truma. So basically what the Gemara says is that the Chaver and the Amaretz is going to copy the Chaver. And he's going to do Kli b'tol Kli. By Kodesh, we don't like that option. Because if he does that, he's going to bring it up to the Mikdash. He's going to want to bring his korbanot, he's going to want to have his tarot be considered for Kodesh, and we're not going to accept it. Okay, so we're not going to accept it, and that'll cause a va, and by causing a va, we have a bad situation. So to say to the chaver, don't do this, so the Amaretz doesn't copy you, so that we don't have this problem. Now going over to Truma, why don't we say the same thing? By Truma we say the chaver can do it, and let the Amaretz copy him. Mimic that behavior, and it caused a problem. Okay, now what are you going to say? Don't accept this Truma. So why aren't you in the same position as you are by Kodesh, which is you've precipitated a certain amount of Eva? The answer is, by Truma, he has an outlet. By Truma, he has an option to give his Truma to a Kohen Amaretz. By Truma, there are many recipients. There are all these Kohanim who are the recipients of Truma, and the Kohanim have the same class distinctions or reflections. You have Kohanim Amaretz, you have Kohanim that are chaverim, so the chaverim will give to their kohanim chaverim, and the kohanim amaretz will give it to their kohanim amaretz. By Kodesh, we don't have that. By Kodesh, there's only one option. The one option is to bring it to the Mikdash. There is only one area where Kodesh is handled, and so because of that, you can't have this distinction or outlet where you'll say, oh, he'll give it to an amaretz. There's only one place to go, and therefore we're going to have to accept it from him. Because of that, we don't do things that they will copy or mimic, because they won't handle it properly. Aman Tana de Chayish le'eva. Who is the Tana that worries about this issue of Eva? Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, we have a bright Amar Rabbi Yossi. Pnei ma Hakol ne'emanim al tarat yayin v'shemen kol yomei tashana. Why is everybody believed about the tara, the purity of yayin and shemen during the year? Kedei shelo yehei kol echad ve'echad oleich u'bunei bama le'atzmo. That each person won't go out there, build his own little mizbeach in his backyard, v'sorei para duma le'atzmo, and then do his own para duma. So what we're afraid of is, if we say to people that your stuff is good, your stuff's no good, that's not good, what you're going to create is a situation in which each individual is going to say, well, I don't accept this person, I don't accept this person, I'm going to do it my way because I don't trust this one. You're going to create a whole system of mistrust. And that system of mistrust is basically going to result in a situation in which everyone only believes in their own hashkacha and only eats their own stuff. There'll be no ability to have any crossover between people. And then you'll have also this even more problematic situation, which is nobody will accept the paraduma of the other person. And everybody's going to do their own thing instead of having some sort of common ground. So for the benefit of the common ground and the ability for everyone to rely on each other, we say that everyone is believed with regards to tarata yayin v'shemen. So here we see Rabbi Yossi worries about this issue of eva, this issue of people trusting each other and people using each other's things in order to prevent a much worse situation from happening, which is this idea that there might be eva or there might be divisions created amongst the people, and we don't want that to happen. Now, when we're talking about yayin and shemen over here, we're talking about kodesh. These are yayin for nesachim and shemen for the menachot. Because this is an area where the Amei Aretz understand that it's being used for Kodesh, and therefore they're going to do it properly, or they're going to ask to make sure that they do it properly because they're being brought up to the Mikdash. Now it might have to do, there might be a difference, we'll see later on in the Gemara, between your physical location, where you are located regionally. Because, for instance, in Yehuda, where you're close to the Mikdash, it's more likely that your wine and shemen is going to be used for Kodesh. And therefore, maybe all Yayin v'Shemen in that area is considered to be okay. Whereas in regions that are much further away from the Mikdash, that may not be the case because people will not assume that it's going to be used for Kodesh. So this might have to do with where you are located. But the idea is basically the same as what we were saying before, is that by Kodesh, there's only one place for it to go, and that's the Mikdash. Since there's only one place for it to go, we got to make sure that everybody can participate. Because if everybody can't participate, then we're going to have problems of Eva. We're also going to have problems of this individuality. And we're actually going to create rifts amongst Klal Yisrael and going to create different streams of I'm more Tahor, you're more Tahor, I don't accept you, you don't accept me. It's a huge problem that will be precipitated by not allowing everybody to bring their Yayin and Shemen al Tarata Kodesh. Amra Papa, Kimang mi kabina naidna saduta mi amaretz. Today, how do we accept testimony from an amaretz? Kiman, Rabbi Yossi. We do this according to Rabbi Yossi. Meaning Rabbi Yossi, who worries about the unification of Klal Yisrael, worries about the fact that we should have a single standard and that we shouldn't have problems of Eva, of class distinctions over here. He says that we allow everybody to bring their Yayin and Shemen. So too today, when we accept testimony from an Amaretz, that is premised on Rabbi Yossi's position here, that we don't want to have any Eva. And as Tosafot points out over here, our Rabbeinu Rabbi Hanan Omer, the Kaimelan Rabbi Yossi, we hold like Rabbi Yossi, v'chashinun Eva, and we do worry about Eva. The fikach mazminin achshav b'chol amaretz. Today we allow the amaretz to be a participant in the mizumun. The Gemara in Brachot says that you were not allowed to be mitzdarif an amaretz to your zimun. So how come we today have amaretz and we're mitzdarif them to our zimun? That's based on Rabbi Yossi. It's a problem of Eva. The Ri actually explains it the other way around. There it says that Talmidei Chachamim should not include an Am Haaretz in their Zimun. So the assumption is that you have two parties here. You have an Am Haaretz and you have a Talmid Chacham. So the way that Rabbeinu Achana explains it is that because we don't want to exclude anyone, we don't want to create an Eva, we accept the Am Haaretz. The Ri says it's the other way around. Who says that you're a Talmid Chacham to come and exclude an Am Haaretz? You're making a presumption, and it's awfully presumptuous that you're the Talmud Chacham, that you can exclude the Amaretz. And he says, that's why we accept Amaretz today, because nobody has that classification of a Talmud Chacham to go ahead and exclude the Amaretz. That's a more general question about individuals who are not Shomrei Shabbat, today what is their status? So Rav Osner, Rav Moshe Feinstein, say that people are not Shomer Shabbat, those people that are Chiloni, we don't accept them to be mitzarev to a minyan, we don't give them aliyot l'Torah, they don't get a classification of being participants because they are not Shomrei Shabbat, and therefore they're excluded. On the other hand, the Chazon Ish says that the Chilonim of today, and there are other poskim like that, are Tinok Shenishba. These are individuals who don't know better, and even though they have religious neighbors, that's what the Rav Osner says, they have religious neighbors all around them, of course they know what's the right thing to do, and they still don't do it, so then they are problematic because they are Mechalalei Shabbat. Chazon Ish says, no, it's built into their Chinuch. They're brought up in this manner. They're brought up and told that those people don't know what they're doing, and this is the proper way. They have a whole system of chinuch of being non-shomer Shabbat. And therefore, you can't blame them to say, oh, they know better. They don't know better because they were educated to believe that those people who are doing it don't know what they're doing. And therefore, he says, they're all classified as tinok shenishba, and we do accept them, meaning we allow them to make the minyan. We allow them to get an aliyah, l'Torah, and we answer amen to their brachot. You're not allowed to answer amen to a brocha of a person who is not Shomer Shabbat, someone who technically is outside the fold because they don't keep some of the basic tenets of the faith. But Chazon Ish says, that's not right. These are Tinok Shenishba, you can answer amen to it. Our practice in general is, if we do give an aliyah to them, we try to add on another aliyah, the Torah, just to make sure that we get 7 Shomer Shabbat that are there for aliyot. But we do grant them aliyot, and that is generally the practice today, is to follow that psak of the Chazon Ish, which is that they have a status of Tinok Shenishba, and therefore we can include them in any participating parts of the service, assuming that they know what they're doing, or at least can say whatever they need to say and make the brachot they need to make. Right, so the definition of Mechalel Shabbat for this situation is Mechalel Shabbat before Hesia, as be someone who's known to be a Mechalel Shabbat. First it comes to Shul and you don't know, then you assume that he's a Shomer Shabbat. And even though some people know, some people don't know, it's not before Hesia that he's Mechalel Shabbat. The problem is we have people who drive to Shul, and they're known to drive to Shul, then those are people that it's clear they're not being Shomrei Shabbat. The question is, why are they not being Shomrei Shabbat? And that's where this question in the Poskim comes up as to the status of the modern-day non-Shomer Shabbat individual. There were times, and I think that it's clear in the Gemara, where people were knowledgeable and made a decision to walk away. Those Amaratzim were greater Talmidei Chachamim than we were in some sense. They learned, they were educated, and they made an active decision not to participate. That's a problem. Over here today, that's not really the situation with most of the people that are non-participants. Either they're not educated at all, they don't know, or even if they do know because they see what around them, they're put through an education system which discards or dismisses all of the other practices, and it's hard to blame them for where they've ended up, because they didn't know any better, not because they weren't educated, but they were educated to the exact opposite. And that's the position of the Chazon Ish and many other poskim, that today's non-Shomer Shabbat, the Chilonim, have a very different status. It might also have impacts with regards to Stam Yenam, which is affected by a person who's not Shomer Shabbat. So therefore, by the case of someone who is a Tinok Shenishba, it might be a better situation. We try to avoid it anyway, but you might have room to be Mekil in those cases, because they may not have a din of a Mechalel Shabbat, like the Gemara grants that a person's Mechalel Shabbat has the same din as a Goy, as a Nachri, and therefore Stam Yenam is problematic in those cases. So Gemara then says, V'nechush l'sheila. Why don't we worry about the fact that the Chaver will borrow Kelim from the Amaret? So we said that we can bifurcate the din between Truma and Kodesh. By Kodesh, we have to protect against the Amaret doing something wrong, because we're going to accept his goods in the end. So therefore, we can't have the Chaver do something that the Amaret will mimic and not know what to do. By Truma, we say, let him do what he wants, because in the end, he has an outlet for his Truma, which is to give it to a Kohen Amaret. That works well with regards to the Truma itself. But the Kelim, the utensils that the Amaret has, the Chaver is going to end up borrowing from the Amaret. He borrows from the Amaret, so we want the Amaret to do it right, so that the Chaver, when he borrows it, gets Kelim that are Teorim, Ditznan. Kli Cheres, Matzil, Alakol. Kli Cheres, earthenware utensils, in the house in which, or an ohel in which there is a mate, they protect against Tuma getting to whatever's inside them. Divrei Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says that when you guards to a Kli Cheres, whether it's Samid Patil, it's totally sealed, which the Torah speaks about in Parshat Chukat. If you have a Kli Cheres that it's Samid Patil, totally sealed, it protects everything that's inside of it. That's number one. Number two is if the Kli Cheres is upside down, the back or the Achorayim of a Kli Cheres is not Mekabel Tumah. So it also will protect an Olam Mate. But that is only true if the Kli is Tahor. If a Kli is Tahor, it protects the items that are inside of it. On the other hand, if the Kli is Tamei, it doesn't protect. So Beit Hillel says that Kli Cheres protects against everything. It only protects against food, drink, and other earthenware utensils. Why does Beit Shammai say that it doesn't work for other items? What are we worried about? We're worried about that the Amaretz is keli or Kli Cheres, earthenware utensil, is really Tamei. And if it's a Tamei utensil, it doesn't protect against what's inside of it. It's only a protector when it is Tahor. So what is Beit Shammai afraid of? That the Am Haaretz is, Kli Cheres is Tamei. Since it's Tamei, whatever's inside of it is not protected. How can you make it half and half? You just said that the food inside is Tahor, the Kli Cheres inside is Tahor, but everything else is Tamei. What is going on here? If you think the Kli is Tamei, then everything should be Tamei. If you think it's Tahor, then everything should be protected. When we said that food and drink items in it are tahor, that's latzmoti arnu. We did it for the Am Haaretz himself. But we're going to say the kelim are okay, which both are going to be used by the Am Haaretz and you. Meaning that who's going to eat this food and drink this drink? It's only the Am Haaretz. He's going to eat and drink it. So for him, we say, okay, it's tahor. The other kelim that are here, who's going to utilize those kelim? Sure, the Am Haaretz might utilize them, but also the chaver might borrow them from him, and he'll also use them. So we want him to know that they're tamei. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yeshua, boshti midivrechem Beit Shammai. Yeshua says, I'm embarrassed by the position of Beit Shammai, meaning that the conclusion from the position of Beit Shammai is something that seems very strange, which is, efshar isha lasha be'areva. You have a woman who is kneading inside of a trough. Isha v'areva tmeim shiva. The woman and the trough are considered to be tamei for 7 days. Ubatzek tahor. And the dough that she works with is tahor. Lugim malei mashkim. If you have these utensils that are full of drink water. Lugim tamei. The utensil is tamei tumat shiva of 7 days of tumat tameit. Mashkim Torim, and the liquids on the inside are Tahor. So what Rabbi Yeshua says is, you're coming up with this situation based on what Beit Shammai is saying, is that you have this crazy situation, which is the food items are going to be classified as Tahor, and the Kelim and the individuals are going to be classified as Tamei. So that makes a force of a situation here where you're going to have these different component parts working together, and one part you're going to say is Tahor, and the other part is going to say Tamei. How could you do that? How could you say that a woman who's working in a trough, she and the trough are tamei mate, and the dough you pick out is no problem, here it is, it's tahor. That's ridiculous. And the same thing with Beit Shammai's opinion. How can you say that something that is inside of a Kli Cheres, inside a olam mate, that the food and the drink are totally fine, and the other kelim are tamei mate? It's basically the same scenario that he just laid out, and it makes no sense. So nitfalo tamid achal mitamidei Beit Shammai. One of the tamidim Beit Shammai addressed Rabbi Yeshua. Amarlo, omer lecha taman shel Beit Shammai. Let me explain to you what the reasoning is behind Beit Shammai's opinion. Amarlo amor. So Rabbi Yeshua says, go ahead, speak up, tell me. Amarlo, kli tamei chotzeitz o eino chotzeitz. When a utensil is tamei, does it protect against tuma or not? Amarlo, eino chotzeitz. So he says it won't be chotzeitz. Kli shalam aretz tamei o tahor. What's the status of the kelim of the utensils of an Am Haaretz? Amar lo tamei. So therefore, that's the whole problem here. That the Am Haaretz's kelim are tameim. Since they are tameim, then they don't protect anything inside of it. V'im ata omer lo tamei, klo mashkiach alecha. If you tell the Am Haaretz that his kelim are tameim, is he going to listen to you? The answer is no. He doesn't really believe his kelim are tameim. He thinks his kelim are Tohorim, blood. And not only that, not only will he not listen to you, if you tell him that his kli is tamei, He'll spit it back in your face, basically, and say, oh, you think my stuff's tamei? My stuff's fine. Your stuff's tamei. And that it'll be this defensive mechanism where he's going to just say, your stuff's no good. My stuff's fine. B'zehu taman shel Beit Shammai. This is the reasoning behind Beit Shammai's position. So as Rashi explains it over here, he says, why was Beit Shammai mitaher the ochlim u'mashkim and the kli cheres? Because those are items that do not have tara b'mikveh. There's no way to mitaher these items in the mikveh. Ochel that's tamei, there's no way to change that. Once it's tamei, it's tamei. Same thing with mashkim, except for water, where there might be a way to solve the problem, but generally mashkim are tameim, you can't do anything about it. Kli cheres that's tamei, no solution. The only solution for kli cheres that's tamei is to break it. So there's no solution for those three items. So then, if you come and say those are asur, is the Amharetz going to listen to you? No. He's not going to listen to you in those cases. By kli shetef, which are any item besides kli cheres, how are you mitayar those items? You take them to the mikveh. You take them to the mikveh and you make them tor. That he might listen to you. Why? Because there's a way to deal with it, and an easy way to deal with it, which is take it to the mikveh and you're done. Now that's not so simple. We'll get to it in a second because this is tamei tumat tameit. Once you're tamei tumat tameit, it's not enough to take it to the mikveh. You also need the sprinkling on it for the para duma. But assuming that all you need to do is take it to the mikveh, Rashi says that for items that we can't fix, the Amharetz is not going to listen to you. For items that there's a quick fix for, he might listen to you because it's not such a big deal. That's the way Rashi describes it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, Teimahi, he says, I don't understand. Why is he going to listen to you by other kelim more than by ochlim u'mashkim? He says, Amharetz is not going to listen either way. He's not going to listen to you that his food is tamei. He's not going to listen to you that his kelim need to go to the mikveh. If he's not going to listen, he's not going to listen across the board. If he's going to listen, he will listen. Elanir lefresh, klu mashkiach b'cha. He's not going to listen. Lefikach lo yishol le'olam. Now this is an instruction to the chaver, not to the Amharetz. The Amharetz is not going to listen to you at all. Period. Nothing will he listen to you. Okay, so then why did the Beit Shammai differentiate? Because of the chaver that's going to come to borrow or to utilize these items. The chaver will not borrow the food and will not borrow a kli cheres because there's no way to be mitaher them. Therefore, he's not going to borrow them. In that case, we just say tahor because the Amharetz is going to use them and nobody will take them. On the other hand, other utensils, where there is a way to fix them, then the chaver will borrow it and then put them in the mikveh. So over there, we say tamei. Don't just borrow the item. You got to borrow the item and put it into the mikveh. So the instructions of Beit Shammai are not for the Amharetz. He's not going to listen ben kach or ben kach. The instructions are for the chaver about how to view the items of the Amharetz. So now, in a case by food items and drink, and liquids and kli cheres, where the chaver will not interact, we say tahor because it's not going to impact the chaver at all. It's not going to be an issue at all. So we say the Amar, it's tahor because he's not going to listen to you anyway. Ah, kli shetef, he's also not going to listen to you when you say it's tamei, but that's an instruction for the chaver to know that his kli shetef, his other utensils are tamei. Since they are tamei, the chaver, when he borrows them, will make sure to put them in the mikveh before he uses them. So according to Tosafot, the Amar will never listen. He won't do anything. We're just differentiating so that the chaver, when he interacts with them, will know what to do. And then Rashi says that the Amharetz will listen to us where there's a simple solution. He won't listen to us when there's a more complex solution. That's the difference between their opinions over here.
Why should we say that the food of the Amharetz is tamei?
That's basically the point. Why create enmity over here by telling the Amharetz that his stuff is tamei? Because there's no value in that. He's going to eat it anyway and think it's tahor. You're not going to borrow it anyway, so calling it tamei brings no benefit, only exacerbates the eva problem or creates enmity between the people, so may as well just say it's tahor and let him be happy with his lot. If he comes to ask us, then we'll tell him what the din is, but he's not coming to ask. So therefore we just say tahor so they feel good and there's no enmity over here. So then, miyad alach Rabbi Yeshua v'nishtateich al kivrei Beit Shammai. Right away, Rabbi Yeshua went and he prostrated himself on the Kvarim, the graves of Beit Shammai, because he had been saying before, Boshtim idivrechem. I'm embarrassed by your position. Your position is ridiculous because you are bifurcating a din which can't be split. And now he got an explanation from the Talmidim and he regrets saying that. Now he says, I understand their position and he goes to ask for forgiveness. Amar neneti lechem atzamot Beit Shammai says that I beseech of you the bones of Beit Shammai. If this is the way that those things that I don't understand, things that you did explain that are clear, how much more? I mean that I thought I understood, and meantime it wasn't the case. Now that I understand something that wasn't so obvious, I see how great your position is and your understanding is. And so now I have to be much more careful about the things that are mefurash. I mean, that I have to take much more seriously the position of Beit Shammai, because they clearly are, quote unquote, Tamidei Chachamim. Obviously they are. But he's just saying that I can't just discard offhand the position of Beit Shammai. Amru kol yamav hushcharu shinam mipnei taniyotav. The remainder of his life, his teeth were blackened by the number of fast days that he had undertaken in order to beseech or get forgiveness from what he had said about Beit Shammai, or how he classified them as Boshni midivrechem Beit Shammai. Tani mihat. Nevertheless, it says here, the chavalo. That's way back. We said by Beit Shammai says, the reason that I say to you that the utensils are tmeim is because the Amarits and you are going to use them. Alma shalina minayu. So we see from this that we do borrow utensils from the Amarits. If you're going to borrow utensils from the Amarits, then we should worry about kli b'tol kli by chuma. Because if he takes his kelim to the mikveh and puts them in kli b'tol kli, we're going to have a problem. Or it says, ki shalina minayu matbilin in the hu. No problem. We don't care about that because as soon as you borrow from them, we're going to stick it in the mikveh. There is a chumrah that if you borrow from the Amarits, you have to put it in the mikveh. So if he copies or mimics the chaver and does a kli b'tol kli for truma, okay, let him do that, even though he doesn't know the dinim. Because when we borrow it, we're going to put it into the mikveh again anyway. So we're going to be mitahir it again. So where it says, Yehochi nehadrilu Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai. So why doesn't Beit Hillel answer Beit Shammai in that case? Then they have an answer. Beit Shammai says, the reason I made it to me is because the chaver is going to borrow it. If you're going to stick it in the mikveh anyway, then Beit Hillel has an answer, Beit Shammai. Make it tahor, because even when I borrow it, he's going to put it in the mikveh anyway. The chaver is always going to put it in the mikveh. The chaver is going to assume everything's problematic. So, kishalina minayu matzbelin in lehu. When we borrow it from them, we put it in the mikveh. Tamemate, by hazah gimel v'zayin. Wait a minute. By tamemate, you need the sprinkling on the third and seventh day. Umana lezayin yoma ilo moshle inche. Generally, don't have the utensil long enough to take care of it to be mitaheret. So that's basically the problem. The problem is here that you have two different issues. One issue is an issue of tefillah. Tefillah is an easy solution. You borrow from him, you stick it in the mikveh, and you're done. So when you borrow it, you're going to take all of his kelim and put him in the mikveh. So as far as issues of the mikveh are concerned, we say we'll solve that problem by simply having you put it into the mikveh when you borrow it. Done. Problem is, by tumat amate, that is not an easy solution because the mikveh is not going to solve your problem. You need hazah on the third and seventh day for para aduma to make it tahor. Generally, you're not going to have enough time to do that, so we need to indicate to you that the kli is tamei, and that's what Beit Shammai is saying. The kli here is tamei, tumat tamei. And therefore, mikveh is not going to be an easy solution here. You're going to have to do something much more. If you're going to borrow it, you're going to have to borrow it for the duration of 7 days, plus you're going to have to take care of it. It's much more extensive, and that's why the position of Beit Shammai is that way. Now, the Gemara says, Vatvilo lo mehemne. Is it really true that the Amaretz is not believed when it comes to tvilah? Vatanya. Ne'manim ame'aretz altarat vilat tamemet. They are believed with regards to going to the mikveh v'tamemet. Am rabbi lo kasha. Habe gufo, habe kelav. Depends what we're speaking about. If we're speaking about the individual themselves, then we believe them that he went to the mikveh. When it's talking about his kelim, there, we're not necessarily reliant on their position or what they tell us. Rava amar idiv idiv kelav. Both of them are talking about his utensils. Lo kasha. Had amar meolam lo hitbalti. In one of the cases where he says, I never put them in the mikveh, kli b'tol kli. I never put them in that way. V'hadamar hitbalti, avol hitbalti b'kli, she'em b'pi b'kush f'feret anot. There are two different possibilities of what he's telling us now. The Amaretz comes before us, and we say we believe him with regards to tevilah. We believe if he tells us, I never took a kli and put it inside another kli when it went to the mikveh, say fine, we believe him. So if he says that, he's ne'aman, and his tevilah is a good tevilah. On the other hand, if he tells us, you know what, I did do kli b'tol kli in the mikveh, but the outer kli had a big enough hole to let the water in. There we don't believe him. So what the situation is, we believe him if he said he never got involved in this halachic question. If he never got involved in this halachic question, he says, I never had that issue because I never put kli b'tol kli, he's believed. If he says, I did it kli b'tol kli, but I did it halachically correct, that we don't believe him. If he has to already tell us what the halacha is and he's involved in the intricacies of the halacha, he loses his nemanut because he really doesn't know the halacha so well. So he's believed with regards to saying that I took it to the mikveh and I never put a kli b'tol kli. But if he tells us he did do kli b'tol kli, but I knew the halacha, then already we start to worry because he really doesn't know the halacha and we can't rely on him in that case. Where it says, Vatanya, Hatanya here is binichuta, meaning supporting this distinction that Rava made. Neman amaretz lomar perot lo uchshiru. He's believed to say that these fruits never were mukshad lekabel tuma. They never primed. They never had a liquid wash over them to allow them to be mekabel tuma. Aval inu lomar lomar perot uchshiru aval lo nitmeu. He can't say, oh yeah, they were mukshad lekabel tuma, but I made sure that they never got any tuma. So they see this distinction. As long as he says something never happened, we believe him. As soon as he says something happened, but I understand the halacha and I knew what was happening, then he loses his nemanut, because our assumption is that he doesn't know the intricacies of the halacha, and he's going to make mistakes in that manner, and we don't believe him anymore. So as long as he says, I never got into this issue, we believe him. As soon as he says, I got into the issue, but I knew what happened, and I took care of it, then we don't believe him anymore. So that's the distinction that Rava draws over here. Zedekha neman isurim is not a general principle that anybody who's an Eidechad is neman. Eidechad is neman b'isurim, and he knows what's... Someone doesn't know anything about kashrut, we don't say that he's Eidechad neman b'isurim, and then kashrut is fine. Then he needs someone to watch over him. Yeshkocha. When there is money at stake, then we start to worry about Eidechad neman b'isurim, because people, unfortunately, get the better of them, and because it's a commercial practice, they take shortcuts, because they're trying to make money, and we know there's been plenty of evidence of that in the last number of years with these crazy cases that come up where people are serving non-kosher meat or providing non-kosher meat. But when it comes to more local issues where you're dealing with your friends and stuff like that, then we say Erecha Menim Surim, because it's not a commercial situation. And you go over to your friend's house, you can assume he's serving you kosher stuff. And if he has different standards, then if you make him aware of it, you can trust him that he will take care of you in that standard. You don't have to think that he's taking shortcuts to get around it. There you say Erecha Menim Surim. You can believe your wife. In the kitchen, Erecha Neman Bisurim. You don't have to worry about the fact that she's not doing the right thing in the kitchen. All right. Va'gufu mi me'emin. Is he believed about his body? Meaning that is he believed when he goes to the mikveh? Va'atanya. Chaver shebalazot mazin alav miyad. A chaver who comes to us and says, I already was to make tumat tamei 3 days ago, and now I'm ready for my first sprinkling. He's believed. And we start sprinkling on him right away. Amar shebalazot. And Amar who comes to get the paraduma on the third and the seventh day. We say to him, okay, wait 3 days, come back, and we'll sprinkle on you in 3 days. So we see that he's not Naaman. This is his gufo, and he's not believed that he's already tamei mate for 3 days. We say to him, okay, come back in 3 days, and we'll start your process. Exactly your question, Fred. In the beginning, we force him to abide by the fact that he counts in front of us. So since we're so machmir on him in the beginning, he realizes that he may not know what to do. Since he doesn't know what to do, in the back end, we say we're making, we believe that he went to the mikveh because he knows that he needs to follow the procedures that are laid out. And since he already went through the process of the sprinkling, he wants to get the thing done right. So he's going to check in with us and make sure that he does it all right. So we can believe him that he went to the mikveh because he understands that this is a serious issue. And since it's a serious issue, he's going to make sure that he does it correctly. So since we forced him in the beginning to sit out the 3 days in front of us and to be makbid on all the little details, he realizes the seriousness of the situation, and therefore in the back end he's going to go to the mikveh and he's only going to do it right. So that's why he's neman in the back end. Right now, achurayim v'toch. Back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that with regards to the difference between kodesh and truma is that achurayim toch and beit tzvita, by truma those are all considered to be independent areas. Whereas by Kodesh, they're all considered to be one thing. One of them comes to me, the whole item becomes to me. Mayo achurayim betoch. What's the din here? Kitznan, it's a Mishnah. Kli shnitma achura v'mashkim. A kli that became to me through mashkim. Mashkim here, we're talking about mashkim that are to me midrabanan. Achura v'tmeim tocho ogno ozno v'yadav teorim. The back, the underneath of it is to me. Right, it's either the base, where there might be a area that's mekabel, or technically it would even be the outside of the kli, is tameh, but tocho, the inside, ogno, it's rim, the rim that folds over, ozno, or the oznayim, the ears, things that you're makzikit, or viadav, means the finger holes, or the handles on the frying pans that you use to hold it, all of those are teorim. On the other hand, nitma tocho, kulo tameh. If the inside becomes tameh, then the whole thing is tameh. This is a din derabanan, because mashkim, liquids are only mitamei midrabanan. The only liquids that are mitamei midoraita kli are the broke of azav, nido, any liquid that comes out of someone who is tumah yotzei migufo and is an avatuma. Those liquids are avatuma, they can be mitamei kli. Any other liquid cannot reach the level of avatuma. The highest level it gets to is rishon l'tuma, and that cannot be mitamei kli. The chachamim goes there on liquids, that all liquids are rishon and they're mitamei kelim, out to the liquids of azav, zava, and nida. So that's only a din derabanan. How do I make a heker? This is only a din derabanan. Because midoraita, If the outside of the kli becomes tamei, the inside's tamei. The inside's tamei, the outside's tamei. The whole kli is tamei. Assuming it's not a kli cheres. I mean, kli cheres, earthenware utensils, even midoraita, only the inside is mekabel tuma, not the outside. But any other kli is mekabel tuma on either side. So midoraita, if the liquid of a zav touched the outside of the inside, the whole kli is tamei. So what did the rabbanon do? They made a heker. A heker that this is only a din derabbanon. How do I make a heker? That if the liquid touches the outside, only the outside will be tamei, the inside will remain tahor. Other way around, if it touches the inside, then the whole thing is tamei. So, the heker is that when it touches the outside, only the outside is tamei, and they'll know that it's a din derabbanon. So that's what we're speaking about here. This tocho and achorayim that we're talking about in the Mishnah, by truma, we say that if the outside becomes tamei, the inside remains tahor from the din derabbanon. By kodesh, we say if the outside is tamei, so is the inside. That's a mala that we do by tarot of the kodesh. Beit HaTzvita, my Beit HaTzvita. What is this Beit HaTzvita? Amar Yehuda, Mashmo, Makom She Tzovto. It's a place by which he grabs it, that he passes it to someone else. V'cheinu Omer, V'itzbat La Kalit. It says in Ruot that he passed her the roasted barley. I mean that it was something where there's an exchange, some sort of way of grasping the item. Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makom She Nikiei Adat Tzovim. It's the place where those people that are Easternists, that are very particular, dip their dips. Meaning that they have a kli that has a dip in it. Like, say, a big bowl of hummus. So then everybody goes and dips in the hummus. Someone who is very particular won't want to dip into that hummus because he doesn't like the fact that everybody else is dipping into the hummus. He doesn't like to share his hummus with other people, especially if they're double dipping. So he doesn't want to be involved in that hummus. So what does he do? He has a little section in the bowl that makes a separate dip or space for him. That is an indentation in there for him to keep it separate. That's what this is. So Tani Rabibi Kameder of Nachman, Kol HaKelim, Ein Lehem Achorayim B'toch. No Kelim have a differentiation between their back and their inside. Echad Kodshei HaMikdash, Ve'echad Kodshei HaGvul. Doesn't matter if we're talking about Kodesh in the Mikdash, or whether we're talking about Kodesh in the Gvulin, outside the Mikdash. Amalai Kodshei Gvul Ma'inihu. He says, wait a minute, what is Kodshei Gvul? Kodshei Gvul is Truma. Truma, that's our Mishnah. Vatznan, Achorayim V'toch, Ubeit HaTzvita L'Truma, they are considered to be separate entities for Truma. So, Dilma L'Chulin Sh'nasu HaTarat HaKodesh, Kamart? He says, maybe you meant to say, not Kodshei Gvul, but Kodoshim means real Kodesh, and non-Kodoshim means not Truma, but Kodshei Gvul, but rather means, Chulin Sh'nasu HaTarat HaKodesh. And that's what you meant here, that both of them have this din. Ad Gartan Milta, says, now you reminded me that that's what I heard. The Amar Rabba Baravua, Malot Shanukan. I mean, there are 11 gradations here in our Mishnah, differentiations between Kodesh and Truma. Shesh Rishonot, Ben the Kodesh, Ben the Chulin, Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. The first six apply whether it's Kodesh or Chulin that was done Atarata Kodesh, because we saw before, those all have a drora of Tuma Doraita. They have some semblance of Tuma Doraita, or could lead to Tuma Doraita. Achronot, the latter five, the Kodesh, Avalo the Chulin, Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. The latter five in the Mishnah only apply to Kodesh, not to Chulin that is done al Tarata Kodesh. Based on that, the case in the Mishnah differentiates between Kodesh and Truma. That means that Kodesh does not have this din of Ocharayim and Tocha Beit HaTzvita, that each one of them is considered to be a separate area, whereas Truma does have that differentiation. But the first six items, and this is one of the first six items, applies to Kodesh, and Chulin Shenasu al Tarata Kodesh. And that's exactly what he meant to say. He didn't mean to say Echad Kodshei HaMikdash Ve'Echad Kodshei Gvul, but he was rather saying Echad Kodshei HaMikdash, which means Kodashim, Kodesh. Ve'Echad Kodshei Gvul means Chulin Shenasu HaTarat HaKodesh, not Shruma. They have the same din, which is that they are not considered to be separate entities. If one of them comes to me, they all become to me. Again, this is one of the Malot Tara that applies to Kodesh or Chulin Shenasu Al Tarat HaKodesh. Okay, we'll stop over here. Two lines from the bottom of Chav Bet Amud Bet.
I'm back to Davin.
What?
Davin.
Oh, Davin, yeah. You're not Svardi. They make it in Nissan, we make it in Elul. That's a A dove, or the handles on the frying pans. That's what it is. Right, that's right. Shua Shakaba. That's it. A dove, or the handles on the frying pans. That's right.